Blog Talk Radio.
For all of our Blog Talk listeners, we'd like to say welcome unto you.
to you, our Blog Talk followers, and also our Twitter listeners and followers, and our Facebook listeners and our Facebook followers. Thank God for you being able to tune in today to Blog Talk Radio. And as long as Blog Talk has been around, there are those that still haven't heard about Blog Talk Radio. So we still have our work cut out for us. So that's exactly what it is, and that is what it says, Blog Talk Radio. So thank God for this vehicle that we're able to get the Word of God out of all kinds of things and subjects and programs are on Blog Talk Radio, but we thank God for this. So we're able to promote the gospel. As the Lord himself said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So he said, go and teach unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, Matthew 28 and 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So notice what he said, teaching them to observe all things. The 19th verse of the 28th chapter of Matthew, he didn't say repeat after me, but the apostles knew what the name was. The name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. So that is the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we thank God for his name. Luke said in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So thank God. That's the greatest revelation of all time, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So we have been going through the book of Ephesians in prior weeks. I think about 8 or 9 weeks we went through the book of Ephesians. We recapped in the book of Ephesians. So on last week we started off in the book of Colossians, and our lesson was to the church at Colossae, another one of Apostle Paul's prison epistles. And so this is where we want to pick up on this evening, continuing in that letter, in the letter to the church of Colossae, written by none other than the great Apostle Paul. And we had left off, we were in the second chapter, so we started off in the first chapter and how he had heard of their faith and the hope of the gospel and the grace of God and truth that they had received. So I believe we left off in the 17th verse. So this is quite a book. Just a little recap. He's talking about the Godhead a little bit here. So he was saying, go up to verse 8 in the second chapter. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And also, I like to give out our number. Our call-in number, should you desire to call in, should you have a comment, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So I'll try to repeat it again. And I thinking I want to, when I schedule the show, that I need to put the number on there in case anyone is searching through. They'll have the number should they desire to call in. Or should you have a question, you are welcome to join in us in with us on this show. So a little recap. So he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Notice the subject is Christ. The next verse, 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Talking about Christ. Ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him by in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the operation, the faith, through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead, ye being dead in your sins, and quick in our and the circumcision, uncircumcision by your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. So blotting out the handwritings and ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made sure of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. So those of us have been that have been following us, that we've been on Blog Talk for 2 years now, over 2 years, at the end of right around, the last Wednesday in February of 2010 is when we started on Blog Talk Radio. So we started off initially, I think we did about 3 series on the Godhead. And so this is one thing that the Apostle Paul is definitely knew, that there was one God. And that Jesus is that one God. So when he wrote to Timothy in the first book of Timothy, the second chapter, and he was saying there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So that is so important. As I even used to say that myself, 1 Timothy 2, and we'll start off at the first verse just to make a point. So he's exhorting his son Timothy in the gospel, and he's saying, I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving up thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of, notice this word, God, our Savior. And so he goes on to say, here's the will of God, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. That is his will. But everybody is not going to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. So he goes on to say, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So that's a very important statement, because there is only one God. And if you have been following me, you notice I've said time after time in the Old Testament, after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible. But you still see the same God. So that was a book that the prophet Isaiah, whom they called the eagle-eyed prophet, he was able to see so far ahead. Just like he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That was 33 years later. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. That hasn't came to pass yet. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So these things haven't come to pass yet, and so they are going to come to pass. So here as we go on back here at the church at Colossae, so he says in verse 17 in the second chapter, talking about all these things that happened, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So it's just too bad that so many people don't get it. So many leaders have exalted themselves so high as if they are almost more important to Jesus. So God is a God of order. And so you do have to be in a local church. That is very important. The Bible said in Psalm 68 and verse 6, God setteth the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. The dry land is the desert. That's what that signifies. And in the desert, there is no living water. So if you don't know how to survive, you can't survive. Where there's no living water, you will die. You have to have be in a local church and have a leader, a spiritual leader, and the leader is the teacher in the church. So he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. There's no comma in between pastors and teachers in Ephesians 4 and 11, which people call the fivefold ministry, which is, it's not the fivefold ministry, it's the fourfold ministry, because the pastor is the teacher in the local church. So there's nothing like a getting to understand. The Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So you got to get an understanding of what's going on. So it's so very important to be able to be in the local church, to have a leader so you can be taught, because God is a God of order. So it's not like it was way back then. Only the priest could go in before in the presence of God, but the veil in the temple has been ripped in twain from top to bottom when Jesus died. So this is why the Hebrew writer says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passing to the heavens, let us hold fast our profession. And he goes on to say, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. So he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. It used to be a throne of judgment. If the priest wasn't right, he would die. And so that we may obtain, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus is entered in once in the end of the world, the writer, Hebrew writer says, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So he is the mediator of the new covenant. He is the lamb. He is the one that said that, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. He is the sin offering. He is the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And so this is why the writer goes on here in verse 18 in the second chapter of the book of Colossians to the church at Colossae. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So let me stop here and make a point. Some of these religions, they claim that they met a messenger by the name of Joseph Smith, met a messenger, some angel. Well, the Bible teaches against that. Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So that is that's error. You don't worship no angel. You don't do that. But you look in the book of Revelation in the 19th chapter and also the 21st chapter, when John was so carried away, he was so moved, he was so in a trance that he fell down at the feet to worship the angel that showed him all those things. And he said, see, thou doest not. I'm of your fellow brethren, and of the prophets. He said, worship God. So you don't worship no angels. So that's a messenger from hell. Joseph Smith was a messenger from hell. That other angel that started those other group of people that they embraced that angel was a messenger from hell. God is not going to say two things, say one thing and do another. So you don't worship no angel. There are some angels that came to people, a messenger that came to people, but he told Apostle Peter, there was an angel visited him because his prayers were going up as a memorial. So God is a guy. He's not saying one thing and then doing another. So when that angel visited Peter, he told him to go see a man. He said, go to Simon, a tanner's house, who dwelleth by the Simon Peter is with him, whose house is by the seaside. When he come, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So that lets you know that's error. When that man met that angel and embraced that angel, when that man met Joseph Smith and embraced him, that is error. So it's not about that, but it's about Jesus. So we, as we move on here in the scripture, so that's what he says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. So Apostle Paul, like I said before, and he also said it more than once when he said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel that which we preach, let him be accursed. And he said it again. So we got to pay very close attention to repetition. We don't worship angels. The angel, not the angel that told him to go see the man of God, that's God. That's what God does. So at this time, we're going to, I thank God that we have also my co-host and the person of Elder David Clifton with me on today. And so as we left off in verse 18 on last week, so that's what we're starting off at. So just trying to give a little recap, a little synopsis. So I'm going to give you, without any further ado, give you in the hands of Elder David Clifton, and we'll move on from there.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord to all our listeners, wherever city and state you may be listening to us from. I guess I may have to add whatever country or continent.
Yes.
Amen, as we are on the World Wide Web.
Yes.
preaching and teaching the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It is a blessing, amen, what technology has done for us in
yes.
these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the apostles, as I think of them, those brothers, when they went to preach and teach, they had to walk
yes.
by foot. They walked.
Mm-hmm.
They went on journeys. They got on boats going from city to city. And here we are sitting here in Belleville, Michigan, and someone all the way in Europe or Africa, if they have access to the Internet,
yes.
can hear, amen, the Word of God being taught. So I thank God for that opportunity.
Yes.
You know, an elder, as I was coming in this afternoon, it's nice out here in Michigan. A lot of us are trying to figure out what happened in the wintertime. Spring looks like it may be upon us. And
yes.
one of the first things that popped in my head, at least in this area here, is once the weather gets good, these women like to lose some of their clothes, if you will. They
mm-hmm.
come outside and they showing a whole lot of skin. And scripture popped in my mind from St. Matthew, chapter number 5, I do believe it is. St. Matthew, chapter number 5, verse number 27, Jesus says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a thought that popped in my head. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Mm-hmm. I said that today.
So those brothers out there, them women that's walking around,
mm-hmm.
you have to be careful when you lusting after her. You are desiring.
Mm-hmm.
That is a desire, a longing
mm-hmm.
to have that woman.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said that you have committed adultery with her in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be careful
mm-hmm.
even what we are looking at.
Yeah.
You know, that there was a brother out there teaching on the things that we listen to pertaining to music. Some of those things I agree with him with, but there's a lot of things I don't think the saints look at and realize that some of the things that we allow to come into our eyes can, amen, condemn us. So that
mm-hmm.
would be my food for thought. On today is we better stay focused on Jesus.
Yes, yes, yeah.
We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Yes, it is extremely hard. As a man, you are wired a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
women out there, they look good. As I said today, you know, the world has a standard for safe sex.
Mm.
The world standard for safe sex is to use condoms and or birth control.
Mm-hmm.
God has a standard for safe sex. God's standard for safe sex is a man and a woman, and you better be married to each other.
Yes.
So, again, we have to separate. If you are indeed wanting to walk with God or have a relationship with God, you have to separate, amen, the teachings of the world and the teachings of God. You have to be able to separate the standards of the world,
yes,
and the standards of God if you're going to make it in this day and age.
Yeah. Yes, and you just got to elevate your mind. You got to be focused. So if you got a wife or if you have a husband, then you're not blind. You're going to interact with other people.
Yes.
You know, but your heart got to be right. You can't be just, I said to somebody today, you can't. There are such things as we have what they call platonic relationships.
Uh-huh.
You know people.
Yeah.
And you should be, if you're a child of God, you ought to be an honorable person, be it a male or a female. You shouldn't be, when somebody mentions your name, you know, he's disrespectful, you know. You should have a good name,
yes,
when somebody mentions your name,
yes,
you know, as a child of God. So that's what these letters that were written to the church are all about, you know. Said some things are ashamed to be spoken of, you know. So you should, we're new creatures in Christ, and so we should have credibility and you know, a person of character, because when folks stop disrespecting you, they know. I say, you got a tail on you. If you dirty and you don't want to come clean, you got a tail on you. Once you get a tail, you messed up.
Amen.
So if you be respectful, then it doesn't matter if someone lies on you, because you could outlive a lie. A lie is a lie.
Yes.
Like somebody said, a lie is a lie if everybody believes it. But the truth is the truth if nobody believes
that's,
it.
That's right. I like that.
Yeah.
I may have to adopt that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So as we left off last week in the book of Colossians, the second chapter at verse number 18, I'll just read this verse, and I think I heard you briefly as I came in speaking on this.
Mm-hmm.
There's some points that I may reiterate that you have may have already said.
Mm-hmm.
But he says here, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Let me go on here. It says, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministereth and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with using, after the commandments and doctrines, plural, of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So, you know, when dealing with this false mysticism, as we have said before, the first thing that comes to my mind, Elder Cannon, is the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And dealing with the worshiping of angels.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone out there that's listening to us is Catholic, please, I would admonish you to give us a call in, and maybe you can set us straight on some of these things. But my understanding of the Catholic faith is they have many different saints, if you will, and they also, in all these churches, they have all these angels, these big orifices, if you will, in their churches, to where they pray to these angels. They pray to Mother Mary. If someone significant dies and that there's a certain event that has to happen with them, they turn them into a saint. This mysticism, if you're going in prayer, there is one mediator between God and man.
Mm-hmm.
That is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There is no one else that we should be praying to. We should not be praying to angels. Angels do still, if you will, minister to us, but
yeah,
not like in the times of old.
Yeah.
I heard you talking of Brother Joseph Smith,
mm-hmm,
the guy that says that an angel came and appeared unto him. Also, in Islam, the Muslims, they also say that an angel came and visited Muhammad. But their accounts of their angelic visitations in conjunction with the angelic visitations in the Bible are completely different.
Right.
The angels always announced themselves.
Yes.
There was no fear. There was no squeezing, as I do believe that's what happened with Muhammad.
That he said.
That he squeezed him and scared him. And then you have to think, why would these angels, if they have been sent from God, have three different messages? You have to figure that out. So we have to be careful in dealing with angels. This notion that angels fly around and they have wings and feathers and all these things, you know, these movies are coming out, angels and demons. And we have to be very careful. We have to be careful that people don't beguile us or trick us into believing these crazy things.
Right. So I would say, like, that's a messenger from hell. If he came and he didn't give you a message, it ain't God.
Yes.
Because the angel appeared under Cornelius in the 10th chapter of Acts. Just like I was previously saying, what did the angel do? He told him to go see a man,
yes,
the man of God.
Directed into a
yeah.
man.
Then also I made mention about in the book of Revelation, 19th and the 21st chapter, John was falling down at the feet of the angel that showed him all those things. He said, see, don't you do it. Don't you do it not. I'm your fellow of your fellow brethren, the prophets. He says, worship God.
Yes.
What he said. So that's so important. You can't, that Joseph Smith and all these this foolishness they're talking, that's garbage.
Yes.
You know, then these people, they're not right no way. They certain people they don't like and all of that. Then I'm told that the Mormons baptize the dead. I mean, they do some crazy stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, because I've been listening to stuff all night. So this presidential candidate is in that foolishness, and a lot of people are not into that. You know, they gave Kennedy a rough time back in 61, whenever it was when he ran, because he was Catholic. You know, so now this would be the first Mormon that ever became a presidential candidate, should he receive the nomination. You know.
Yeah, we have to be careful
yes,
with those things.
Exactly.
And again, as I say, we have to be like the Bereans, and we have to go home.
Yes.
And search the scriptures to see if these things are so. You can't just take anybody's word nowadays, because people, as you were speaking before, they will lie to you.
Yes.
They will, and some of it may not be purposely, but if they were deceived, they will in turn deceive you.
Yes.
You will in turn deceive your kids. And at the end of the day, you don't have the truth. So you have to search some of these things out. And I believe that if we just take the time, Elder, to read our Bibles.
Yes.
Some of these things would come to us just by reading the scriptures. You would see some of the contradictions, amen, that they are teaching.
Right, and it's so important. That's why Jesus said that false Christs and false prophets shall arise and deceive many. So the whole point is, you can't go and you don't have a message if you haven't been taught right. So like we said, God set the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. He initially gave this message to 12 men.
Yes.
So he was saying, you know, I don't pray for these only, but I pray for all of those that shall believe on me through their word.
Yes.
So it's passed on down. Truth is passed on down. That's why Apostle Paul said, the things that you have heard among me, you've heard from me among many witnesses. He said, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others.
Amen.
So that's the whole thing. You got to get it right. You can't run off like they used to say with the cow by the tail. You're not. Folks are destroying souls.
Amen.
And this is what the Lord was trying to let people alone. He said, letting people know. He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders. And he went on to say, if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. And he ain't talking about the ditch on the side of the road. He's talking about hell.
Yeah, so you have to be careful,
yes,
as he said.
Yes.
That there's commandments and doctrines,
yes,
of men.
Yes.
And then there's the doctrine of Christ.
Yes.
One of the first things I like to say is, you cannot have church without doctrine.
That's right.
There's people out there that saying that we're just going to have church, but we're going to leave all the doctrine at the door. You can't have church the Christian way.
Exactly.
Without having doctrine.
Right, and just think about this. They always say, oh, we don't want to hear doctrine. And don't understand biblical terminology. The word doctrine means one word. Teaching.
Amen.
But they can say, the Honorable so-and-so teaches.
Yes.
That's doctrine.
Amen.
It's false doctrine.
Yes. And in order to be a Christian,
yes,
which is a disciple of Jesus Christ,
yes,
a disciple is a follower of a master that has a particular teaching.
Yes.
So if you believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ, you believe in the doctrine of Jesus Christ and all this other foolishness, you would leave that at the door and come in with the doctrine of Christ.
Right, because even Jesus said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees.
Yes.
And the doctrine of the Pharisees was a hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the leaven of the Pharisees, or the doctrine of the Pharisees, they were hypocrites.
Yes.
Is what they were.
Amen. So going on here in chapter number 3, Paul goes on and says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ is who our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. So if we just pause there briefly. We have to mortify. When you're dealing with mortification, it's dealing with being dead.
Mm-hmm.
All these things, and this is something you'll see where it says, but ye, such were some of you, as mm-hmm. he said to the Corinthians.
Yes.
And as he said here, in the which ye also walk sometime when ye lived in them. So, mm-hmm. Again, as I said last week, there's no one in the church that can put themselves up on a pedestal as though they have been perfect their entire life.
Right.
We were all at one point in time sinners.
Right.
But in order, again, to classify yourself as a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, there's things that you cannot do. As you were speaking of, when people hear your name,
mm-hmm.
none of these things should follow after your name if they're talking about you.
Right.
You can't be an idolater. You can't be a fornicator. You can't be one that swears, saints that cuss, and say that it's okay. Blasphemy, anger, wrath, these things should not be named among anyone that is calling themselves a Christian.
Right.
We have to be careful. These are things of old. We have died. That is one of the things with the baptism in Jesus' name. That is a representation of your death.
Yes.
Your burial. And then as Christ was resurrected, so are you. You have been born again. That's what the born again experience means.
Yes.
That you have now put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This is after Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And now you have to think like Christ. Your ways that you think are now different. So we have to understand that. And once you're in Christ, there is no Greek, no Jew, no rich, no poor, no fat, no skinny. Those things are all gone. You are a child of God.
I was just thinking how stupid things that people come up with out of the mind of man. And that is, they're always trying to reverse stuff, like, what would Jesus do?
Uh-huh.
You know, it ain't what would Jesus do. What would you do? You know, what do you drive? You know, people just come up with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Would he drive a Cadillac and all that? He made all this stuff. I mean, this ain't nothing but junk to him. You know, people don't realize, like in the book of Corinthians, we already went through, it says, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. And he went on to say, he said, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I mean, we always trying to make excuses. People, the devil is so clever until when he tries to promote his agenda, then if you don't, conform to his agenda,
yeah,
then he'll try to psych you out like you're crazy.
Yes.
You know?
There ain't nothing wrong. If the Lord was to bless me when I was making $100,000 plus a year,
yes,
and I want to go buy a Cadillac,
right,
I worked for it,
mm-hmm,
I can buy me a Cadillac and ride in it. That has nothing to do with my relationship with God.
Nothing. Nothing. I mean, sometimes we think, you know, that's humble if you're driving a hoopty. I mean, the thing quit on you and you're on the side of the freeway.
Yeah.
That's not wisdom. That don't make sense. You know, it is also hypocritical to say you want to see the auto industry go under, but your wife got two Cadillacs.
Yeah.
You know,
come on.
That don't even make sense. I mean, people say stupid stuff. So, but the whole point is the body, we don't want to be guiled by angels, but we got to worship Jesus. So
yeah,
you can't get caught up in that. Now, we understand angels, what angels are all about. I'm going to say this right quick. We understand that. We're not throwing away angels. Angels have a purpose, and the
amen,
Bible lets us know.
Yes.
But Apostle Paul, when he was writing here in Hebrews, he was making a purpose. He was making a point. Now, the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels and his ministers a flame of fire, but under the sun, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and a scepter of thy kingdom. And he goes on anyway to, here's the important thing, to which of the angels said he at any time, this is the point, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Mm-hmm.
A question. Then the next verse is a question that he's answering. He said, are they, angels, are they not all ministering spirits,
yes,
sit forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
Amen.
So he's answering a question. So even in the, further in the book of Hebrews, he talks about we are compassed with an innumerable company of angels.
Yes.
Somebody said troops, truth is marching.
Yes.
So angels have their purpose, but the angels are not giving us our message.
Amen.
Is the point.
That's right.
And they have not been, not during this dispensation. So, you know, that's just double talk. The message went out on the day of Pentecost, and the same message went out in Samaria, and the same message went out in Caesarea and in the 10th chapter of Acts, and in the 19th chapter of Acts, when Paul passed through the upper coast at Corinth, he found certain disciples, and he asked them the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They replied, we haven't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He went on to ask them, what baptism were you baptized? They said, under John. He said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to them that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, the Bible says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And Apostle Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and preached.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's what the prophesying is.
Yes.
That's preaching.
Yes.
That's not Sue saying to me telling
yes
you how many blessings you're going to get and
mm-hmm
how many businesses
no
you're going on.
And this is your day, your
yes
time, and all that. Your ministry.
Amen.
No, that's the whole point. We're taking too much credit. It's not about us.
Yes.
But we preach Christ the Lord.
Amen. Going on here in verse number 12, he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving, amen, one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave ye, you so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Not to a crowd.
Right.
Hello to Sunday's best. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
And baptism is a deed.
Amen.
It's a commandment.
Come on. You have to do what yeah he tells you to do.
Yeah.
That is not a work. That is something that God has told
yeah
us to do. And amen, he says, wives, amen, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for his wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Amen. Chapter number 4, he begins with, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven.
Okay, hold it right there.
Amen.
Now, this is a good point. I always like to use this as to in the marketplace where people don't pay folks a livable wage.
Yes.
Because listen to what he's saying. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal.
Uh-huh.
So he's talking about those in the church, let alone those ones out there.
Uh-huh.
They should be doing the same thing. So that's why the union comes in place. And then and I like to say the first union is God.
Amen.
The first people that were slave masters was down in Egypt when they were, you know, had the children of Israel down there slaving. God heard their groanings and he came to deliver them.
Yes.
So we know that the word union means one. So you join a husband, a man and a woman, that's a union.
Yes.
They call it you're made one. You're in a holy matrimony.
Yes.
You know, that's making you one. That's a union. So God is the first union.
That's good. That's real good.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall, Tychicus, declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you, for the same purpose that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salute you, and Marcus, sisters, son of Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute ye always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen.
Amen.
So he leads off here, and one of the things that I like is he's letting them know, the brothers that he has ministered with,
mm-hmm.
some that he has sent to them, and telling them that when they come to you, receive them.
Mm-hmm.
Not only receive them, but I want you to receive the words that
mm-hmm.
they bring to you, because they are instructing you how to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing he wanted them to do was he wanted them to share this epistle with the church of the Laodiceans, and likewise
mm-hmm.
he wanted them to read their epistle, which is more confirmation that these epistles were written for churches,
mm-hmm.
for saints, for people that were saved, not for unsaved people. We have so many people that like to read the scriptures, and they will apply these scriptures to their lives,
mm-hmm.
and they are not saved.
Right.
You have to understand what you're reading when you're reading it so that you can get, amen, a better understanding of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, so this is good. We were able to finish this book because we're going to be away until we're going to come back in April after this broadcast. But now we got time, really. You could fly with us to the Book of Revelation.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
good. And one more thing, I just wanted to back up because
mm-hmm.
I know that we have dealt with this before.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the beginning of chapter number 3, this just came back to me. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above,
mm-hmm.
where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to just briefly, I know we have a few more minutes, just
mm-hmm.
to kind of deal with the right hand of God, because that's one of the things that as Trinitarians, they will say that there are three, and they
mm-hmm.
will say that there's God, and Jesus is literally sitting on the right hand of God. And
mm-hmm.
you have to understand that that is not a literal meaning of the scripture. It is
right.
a place of power and
authority. Mm-hmm.
That is where Jesus Christ is, because the Bible also says that we, the saints,
mm-hmm.
will be on the right hand of God. So
mm-hmm.
are we going to push Jesus off?
Right.
Are we going to take Jesus' spot? You
right.
have to understand the biblical terminology.
Exactly, because I've made mention at the beginning, before you came in, that we've been doing this broadcast for 2 years, I believe the last Wednesday in February of 2010. So we started off the first 3 broadcasts, we dealt with the Godhead. And then also today I read this when we came on. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?
Yes.
He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledge the Son hath the Father also. So just like you didn't know I mentioned it. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So that if there is only one God. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So I say all this so-called honorable so-and-so teaches, you know, well, he's teaching false doctrine.
Yes.
He's teaching, okay, say he's teaching. He's teaching false doctrine. They reduce Jesus down to a prophet, and y'all want to promote 2 men, which one man has been dead since 1965, and the other man is not honorable.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, people put so much, I can't think of the word, that they put so much into a man, and that's not what you want to do. You want to put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And when you do that, what you're doing is, just like what this broadcast is saying, you're putting your confidence in truth, because the truth is going to abide, the truth is going to stand forever. So if you don't have anything else, we just want to fly to the Book of Revelation. I mean, you got time to whatever, we got 6 minutes to elaborate on some things, but just wanted to, because we're taught, and the Bible teaches us to pay very close attention to repetition. So he made mention about the Laodiceans more than once in that closing letter.
Yeah.
So that's why we wanted to fly to the Book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, and that's 14th verse. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. This is the Lord talking here. That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot. That's repetition. He's saying the same thing. I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Yes.
So because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods and have need of nothing. He goes on to say, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Yes.
Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne.
Yes.
Even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church.
So, and here's the thing, as we go back to that Cadillac,
yes.
This is where this would play into, where you have people, and I remember a friend of mine, he made a statement that he was gone with his father and his uncle. They was going to shop for Bentleys. And then he followed that by saying, God really has his hand on us. So because you're shopping for Bentleys, does that mean that God has his hand on you?
Mm-mm.
This is what Jesus was dealing with here.
Exactly.
Because they are rich and increased with goods. You have a big
need
mansion.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. You have a big old, you have a plethora of cars.
Mm-hmm.
You have the finest jewelry. Every shoe you wear to church is a gator. You got gator belts. You're rich in goods.
Mm-hmm.
That does not necessarily mean that God is with you.
That's right.
Because on the spiritual side, you're blind, you're
mm-hmm.
naked, you're wretched, you're poor, you're
miserable. You're naked.
This is the spiritual aspect. So
yes.
What the world is seeing now, that what's the song? The song that these sisters got out? It's the God in me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the God in me because I got a nice house
mm-hmm.
and I got a nice car. That don't got nothing to do with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's heathens out there
right.
that go to work every single day and got
mm-hmm.
more money than me.
Right.
They
like
don't
that,
reverence God.
Right. Like they said, that one presidential candidate got this company called Bain. I forget exactly. Anyway, Willard Mitch Romney. They said he makes anywhere from $57,000 to $60,000 a day.
Wow!
Not doing nothing.
Look at that.
So if it's 60 grand a day, then that's $1.8 million a month.
Wow!
Not doing nothing. Bain Capital is the name of the company.
Yeah.
So people are making money, like they said. Some people are making money while they sleep.
Yes.
Money is making money.
Yes.
You can't make money like that working with your hands.
Yes.
So he's capitalizing off of other folks.
Yeah, that's just like the Forbes just put their list out not too
yes.
long ago
mm-hmm.
of the richest people in the world. Some of these people, they done made the product. They've
mm-hmm.
done all the work. Now they sitting back collecting all the money
mm-hmm.
from the sales. As you said, they in their sleep
yes.
making money
right.
because you out there buying things.
Right.
That has nothing to do with your relationship
no.
with God if you work.
Right. And so
you can get money.
Exactly. So that's why he says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith
yes.
and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He went on to say, thou, man of God, flee these things. Follow after charity and righteousness and godliness. You know, rich people, that they be not high-minded, they trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy.
Yes.
But his charge is that they may lay hold on eternal life.
That is good.
And yes.
That's the key. You
mm-hmm.
have to hold on to Christ.
Yes.
What he is admonishing here, he's telling them the state that they are in, and he's saying,
mm-hmm.
look, wake up. He's giving them a chance to repent and restore
mm-hmm.
their relationship with God.
Yes, yes. So we thank God for the word that we have received. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.